It's funny when you look back at the first time in your mind that you can remember seeing things. It's just like this big collage of little bits and pieces that really jump out. At least it is for me. One of those things that jumps out is, remember, Dill, the skateboarder that moved to my neighborhood? Well, yeah, eventually, through being friends with his brothers, I got to be friends with Dale. I worked my way up to the top. And one of the things that was amazing about having this sort of older brother to the neighborhood that was advanced and knew about all these things we didn't is that rummaging through his stuff, you could always find all these little pieces of culture. And I don't know where Dale got any of this from. I don't know how he figured out to get into skateboarding and punk. It just wasn't an easy thing to find in the mid late 80s in Louisville, Kentucky. But one of the things that I found in his car that scared me was a cassette tape that was by Minor Threat. And it was like not a teal blue, but not a hard blue. It was sort of like a sky blue. And that color over it has a black and white photo. And it has the singer, Ian MacKaye, head in his lap, hands over his knees. And he's wearing looks like a trench coat, black pants, combat boots, and his head shaved. Now, the one thing I knew, being from Kentucky, is that I didn't want to grow up to be a racist. I knew that I wanted to be better than many of the adults that I had heard growing up. I didn't want to have hate speech. I didn't want to have it in my heart. I wanted to do better. I wanted to be better. But the funny thing is when you're a victim of your surrounding, you don't realize this, but you are doing things, many things accidentally, that are indeed racist. We live in a racist society, and there's a certain amount of racism that's passed down to you. And as you get older and the world matures, some of us, you start to realize things that you've done. You're like, oh my God, I can't believe I did that my whole life. Like, it took me a while to learn that every time you tell a story about someone who's black, you don't have to say, oh yeah, that black guy that plays bass, or the black guy in the band. You don't have to say that, right? You just be like, oh, the bass player. Oh, yeah, the guy in the band. Oh, the singer in the band. But that's one of those things that I just picked up being a product of my environment. But I was always actively trying to make sure that I didn't take on more than what I was probably already doing. I mean, I do come from a time that when you were younger, people still use the word colored. And I didn't know that was bad. I was saying, oh, they're a color and I'm not. I'm white, which is the absence of color, and they're color. So that, he's colored. You're not supposed to say that. Many of us grew up using the word fag, which I will never use as an adult. But we used it. Never once did I use it to mean something hateful. I've never once had an idea in my mind that somebody was less than or weird or different because they were gay. That never registered me as anything that I should be afraid of, fearful of, been curious about it. Who knows? Am I gay? I mean, I don't know. Like, who tells you if you are or you're not? During these years, I wondered that. How do I know? Is there a test? But we use that word. It was just a dumb word we used. And like many people today use it, oh, you're being a pussy. Yeah, you're being a real puss. I think that that's probably something that we should let go of, right? Saying that you're being a pussy means that you're being weak. And I look around my world, and I know a lot of strong women. Their puss is a little bit stronger than the cock these days, right? But that's just the way that we grow up. You know, you're just constantly evaluating, who am I? What am I doing? And can I do better? I want better for myself. I want to be better. Can I be better? So when I saw the cassette Minor Threat, it scared me. Guy's head was shaved. Maybe he was a skinhead. And then I read the lyrics. Guilty of being white. Or I'm sorry, I read the track listing and I saw that because I believe the cassette just had a bunch of their stuff poured onto it because their albums were like 9 minutes long for a total of 8 songs. The first Minor Threat EP, it's 8 songs, totals 9 minutes, 20 seconds. The In My Eyes EP, which Guilty of Being White was from, that's another 4 songs that comes in at 7 minutes. Oh, getting a little bit longer. But I remember seeing that and being afraid of it. I was scared of what it was. And getting back to a couple of episodes ago, last week when I talked about Dr. Demento and listening to the satiric humor of the Dead Milkman and understanding that there's a way to tell a story, I thought, well, maybe this is that. But then I listened to it and I realized that this was a young man, just like me, that was in an environment where he was white, but not necessarily the majority, and was having to deal with getting bullied and getting beat up. And friend, I have been beat up so many times in my neighborhood because of the color of my skin. And I'm not asking you to feel bad for me. Like, I know historically it's been a pretty great ride for white guys, but I do know what it's like to be different and to be beaten up and to be singled out because of who you are, or more so, who you represent or what you've represented. When I listened to this music and started reading the lyrics, this was the first time that I started to realize that punk was a movement. There was a message in some of this music. Yes, some of the bands were goofy and were funny and would call their album group sex. I remember when the Circle Jerks group sex cassette fell out of my pocket, my dad's looking at a cassette that says Circle Jerks group sex. It was pretty cool that day. He just said, man, I don't know what the fuck this is, but try not to let that fall out of your pocket again. My dad was cool. He never really judged me on my music. He never really bought into the whole heavy metal is devil worshiping music. I think that he realized that the music was giving me some sort of peace and liberating me, and he let me have that. I do remember him coming in the room when I was listening to the Born Against 12-inch. And when you put the album on the 12-inch, or when you put the album on the turntable, the little, you know, the little dial that sticks up that keeps your album in place, that was the spike that you were putting through Christ's hand. And there's a little bit of blood. And I remember my dad looking at the turntable with Jesus's hand spinning around, and I had just crucified him, and he just shook his head and left the room. And because Born Against probably sounded horrible to him, it was the easy way for him to turn the other way. But I always respected that he let me have my music. And I've always tried to let every generation have their own music. And when people say music's gotten old or music's gotten stale, it's like, no, just your genre. Just maybe rock and roll's dead. But something's happening out there with a new form of hip hop or SoundCloud rappers or EDM. Like, there's always innovation happening in music somewhere. You just have to be willing to look for it and to look outside of your genre, which maybe has aged out just like you. But when I looked at this Minor Threat cassette and I listened to it and I opened my mind with my defense up, because I did not want to become a skinhead. I knew that I did not want to become somebody that liked racist music. That was not what I was trying to do. I wanted to get out of Kentucky, not embrace the bad parts of what I'd seen from adults. And I'm not talking like, I'm not blowing in family members. I'm talking like people in the neighborhood, people at church, stuff that I heard people say in school. I mean, I went to a high school where I had a black teacher. And it's important in this story. I've learned my lesson. I had a black teacher be homophobic because the TV show 30 something had just aired and it showed the first ever two men kiss on TV. And I saw homophobia through a man that was a minority. And I was like, oh, I figured you would be accepting of other minorities. And that was one of the first times I realized, like, no, sometimes it's every man for himself. So looking into the world of Minor Threat was looking into the world of what punk rock really looked like. Being bold enough to stand up for yourself and to say something that's not exactly popular, but it is something that you're dealing with and that you're going through, and that maybe someone else, like me, could identify with. This cassette, and I wish that it was vinyl, but it was a cassette. This cassette single-handedly put me on the path of wanting to hear more about music that would have change in it. I wanted to know more about music that had a message that could be delivered to me to tell me, you're all right. What you're dealing with today won't matter in 2 years, 2 months, 2 minutes, but it matters to you now, and it matters to me. And if you stand up and stand up for what you believe in, you can get through this just like I did. The message of Minor Threat, the lyrics of Ian MacKaye, would go on to be a bit of a religion for young guys like me and young people like me all around the world because of a song called Straight Edge. And that's a different topic for a different wake-up call. But when I look back at this moment, it was understanding that music could be more. And here I was, somebody who was trying not to be racist, and I had judged this book by its cover, which is kind of a weird way to look back at it. But this is the beginning of me being open-minded and wanting to learn through music and wanting to identify with musicians and people that had the same issues and problems as me. Left of the mainstream, far off the beaten path, but there was a culture out there of people saying things that I could relate to. This was the first time I ever felt like music had been made for me. I hope you enjoyed today's wake-up call. If I'm being honest, the last 7 episodes had to be recorded in one session so that I could keep up with my release schedule while I had personal stuff going on in my life. I hope they didn't suffer from it. I hope that you enjoyed them. But I'll be back tomorrow with a live, recorded within 24-hour wake-up call. And I'll catch you back up on where we've been since. Thank you so much for being a part of this journey with me. I'm having fun, and I hope that you are. I'll be back here tomorrow, as long as you are.